In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, I shall read here from the second book of Kings, from chapter 5, beginning from the verse through 19th verse, and the words are heard in Jesus' name. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord, "Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots, and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and his company, and he came and stood before him, and he said, "Behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So accept now a present from your servant." But he said, "As the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Then Naaman said, "If not, please let there be given to your servant 2 mules load of earth. For from now on your servant will not offer burnt offering or sacrifice to any god but the Lord. In this matter may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, leaning on my arm, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon your servant in this matter." He said to him, "Go in peace." Amen. In this lengthy story, a portion of the Word of God, we see 4 persons, of whom 2 are kings, King of Syria and King of Israel. Their names are not mentioned. In that regard, they were not at a central role in this series of events. And then the text mentions a small maid, a believing girl. Who faced a tough fate. It told in our text that the Syrian troops had in one of their raids stolen and taken this small girl from her home . Maybe her family and near ones had been killed . It is not told here, but we can be sure that the girl had been brought far away from her father and mother, also from the kingdom of God. She was completely alone in this foreign land. But nevertheless, God had guided it in such a way that this small girl had gotten into a good home, to a warlord, a famous warlord's maid, as a lowly maid to him, in the service of the warlord's wife. I believe that this girl had a great yearning for home. She missed to hear the word of God, the care of the gospel. But she probably also remembered those teachings of the word of God that had been spoken regarding to the fate of Joseph, when by his brothers he had been taken and captured and put into a deep well because of their envy, and later be sold as a slave into the land of Egypt. The girl certainly remembered how Joseph in his slavery was a happy man nevertheless, because God was with him. And maybe this lowly maid, of whose name is not mentioned here, also could experience that. And nevertheless, she's still in good care because God has not forgotten her. She can trust in the care of God and guidance, for his guidance in this difficult part of her life. I think of you preteens, girls and boys who are maybe in the same age bracket as this small believing girl growing into her youth. She desired as her most precious treasure keep the living faith amidst this completely ungodly nation and people. And she dared to also confess her faith when she told to her mistress, to the wife of this great warlord Naaman, very boldly, that would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Also, in this way, you who are growing into your youth, who in very early age hear the whisperings and temptations of this world, maybe from your schoolmates, maybe from those who have already denied their faith, given up their faith, or from social media. Social media's bottomless black stream, which often gives wrong and false information, creates false imagery to the mind of a young one. The enemy of the soul is in many ways tempting a young one to leave the most precious faith, to regard it as old-fashioned, by promising the joys and maybe fame and honor of this world in the field of sports or in many other ways, as the enemy tempts already at an early phase of a person. The enemy of the soul knows that he cannot tempt the very smallest children, because they do not have the temptations of the mind, but a growing youth may at times get his or her sense to go before faith, and the mind might be leading away from faith. But this had not happened to this poor maid, and that prayer of faith is such that it would not ever happen in your part either, but that you could grow up in the grace care of God as free youth into adulthood if you're given days of life, and once when traveling together the destination would be the heaven, the glory of heaven. With regard to the great warlord, everything was good except he had honor and glory, power. And it's even said here in the text that he was a famous man and regarded as great before his lord or the king, because through him the Lord had given them the victory to Syria. And now this talks about Lord as God. God had given this Naaman, through this Naaman Syrian, success to Syrian people and nation, country. As a skillful warlord, Naaman had succeeded to prevent the enemies and stop the enemies' attacks and to be able to win battles and wars, and victoriously also battle against God's ownership nation. And as catch from there had brought temporal goods and also this young girl from Israel. The king and the people regarded highly this Naaman, but he had a severe sickness, leprosy. Leprosy at that time was such a sickness that knew no cure. Little by little, it would destroy humans' health and even the outward appearance completely. It was a horrible sickness and disease, and with it, even the strongest was without power. One could not cure the disease with money or power. Naaman probably had turned to his nation's healers, to the witches, to be cured and to receive the miracle of curing, but had not found any help anywhere. Not from the doctors, not from witches. But then he listens to this poor girl's, maybe one who was at the very lowest level of the hierarchy of his servants, listens to her advice and decides to go on a long journey to Israel, because the girl had promised that there is a prophet of the living God who can, by power of God, heal him. Naaman relates as the warlord to his king about this matter and asks for a permission to go. And the king writes a letter to the king of the people of Israel. And Naaman leaves with the letter and with a great crowd of servants, takes with him great amount of gifts, which he decides to give to the prophet in case he's able to cure him of his sickness. The question is about great riches here. It is told here that there were, if I remember right, 6,000 shillings of gold and lots of festive clothes and 10 festive garments. This girl had given them the address of the kingdom of God. It can be found there in Samaria. But Naaman maybe forgot about this piece of advice regarding to where the prophet can be found. Or then he lost his way, just as the wise men of the East did, into thinking that the place, the town, city of the king is Jerusalem. And there in the city is also the temple of the king where God is being worshipped. Certainly there one can find help. And so he goes to Jerusalem and expresses to the king this letter from his own king, which is heard as follows. When my letter comes to you, look, I send my servant Naaman to you so that you would cure him of his leprosy. And when the king of Israel hears what there is in the letter, he tore his clothes and said, as a sign of rage, and says, am I God to kill and to make alive? The king is quite correct here. He does not have the right of God to heal temporal leprosy or the sin sickness, of which leprosy is a picture of. For sin is just as bad of a sickness as leprosy is to a person. If it's not cared for, if one does not get forgiven, then just as certainly as leprosy ruins one's physical being, sin and living in sin destroys one's inner being. A child's fate is lost and one experiences spiritual death. The king could not wash him of or clean him of sin either. He was an unbelieving king. He was not believing in the same way as the prophet Elijah and this little girl. Therefore, the king, as he recognized his own powerlessness, thought that now the king of Syria is just trying to find a way and reason for another conflict and war with him. And so he sends Naaman away from him. But our text tells us that when the man of the Lord, Elisha, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, and asked, why have you torn your clothes? And request Naaman to be sent to him so that he would know the prophet to be there in Israel. Israel is a forepicture of the kingdom of God. From the kingdom of God, there has always been found God's prophets, believing people who have the power to release one from the shackles of sins. And prophet Elijah, he is one of the great prophets who began his duty after prophet Elijah. He was famous for his battle against the prophets of Baal. In this battle of prayer, Baal's prophets indeed called for their own gods, but the dead gods could not hear. But then when Elijah prayed to God, the fire came from heaven and burned the sacrificial animal and the entire altar, also the stones, and burned all the water from around the altar also. And the people of Israel began to chant that we have only one living God, and the prophets of Baal were killed. But when Elias' days were coming to end and God had told him that his time to departure is coming nigh, his student Elisha accompanied Elijah to his last trip and asked if he could receive the firstborn's right of his spirit. Elijah said that you are requesting a lot, but if you can see how I'm departing, then indeed God will grant to you that portion that you ask of God's spirit. And soon it happened that the golden chariot came to take Elijah to heaven, and Elisha was able to see how Elijah was taken into the glory of heaven. And Elisha received the portion of the spirit of Elijah. And in that power of the Spirit, Elisha did great marvelous works, healed the sick, fed with a small amount of food great crowds, and brought back to life people, diseased people, a son of a certain woman. Through such a prophet are now Naaman and his troops riding with their horses and chariots. And when he arrived at front of the house of the prophet, he stopped his chariot by the door of the house and did not go in. Maybe the warlord knew his own value and thought that the prophet must come to me. I will not lower myself from the chariot and to go into some lowly shed. This kingdom of God may appear of low value, and children of God be accompanied by many faults. That power that God has put into these clay vessels is not easily shown. As we heard through our dear brother this morning, we don't feel as if we are the ownership nation, the holy priesthood, to proclaim that great power. But when we need to confess our faith, our head is lowered, and shyly we tell that indeed we also are believing. Prophet Elisha sent his servant to Naaman and gave a piece of advice. Go into the river Jordan and wash up 7 times and you will again be healthy. The river Jordan that flows in Israel depicts the stream of grace, which is crystal clear, and starts from the throne of the Lamb, goes underneath the threshold of the temple so that everyone can reach who is thirsty for the water of grace to dip in, to dip. Also now, dear sisters and brothers, at this moment you have a permission to uplift your heart, to believe, to dip joyously of the stream of an well of grace. Believe all sins, doubts, temptations forgiven. Also, you dear children and youth, all temptations, disobedience, temptations of youth, disobedience of childhood, forgiven. To your own part, you can believe in Jesus' name and blood, all sins forgiven of grace. But looking from the outside, Naaman the Syrian could not see the River Jordan would be the stream of God full of grace. But he said that, are not all the streams of Syria, Abana and Pharfar, are more clear? Could I not wash up there the same way? And angrily he left. The advice of the Word of God either heals or it offends. This advice was not accepted by the warlord. But it is miraculous then that Naaman's own servants, who were not believing, start to advise him that if the prophet would have asked you to do something great, you certainly would have done it. Why would you not listen in a small thing and go and watch as the prophet advised to you? Naaman humbles himself, goes to the River Jordan, and washes there for 7 times, and his sickness disappears. His skin turns clean as a baby, babies. Naaman gets happy, and it opens to him as in a faith that nowhere else is there living God other than in Israel. Here there are streams of living water from which even the most sinful can receive grace. And he comes to the chariot and to the prophet and offers gifts. But no, Elisha does not want to take them. He thought as we think. We have received as gifts, and we also want to give as gift. Not God's grace cannot be bought by money, and one does not need to pay for it when one has received it by grace. And then Naaman nevertheless asks the prophet for a permission that, would you give me 2 loads of dirt for the donkeys to carry? Because he wants to sacrifice to living God on top of the Israeli dirt in his own land. And he has the understanding that I do not want to sacrifice to other gods besides the God of Israel, and to serve, I don't want to serve idols. But nevertheless, he confesses the problem he has in his heart. He knows that in his profession and position, it he is asked to go with the king to the temple of Rimmon when the king is serving the idol, and asks that, would the Lord allow me to do so and go there? Elisha, as required by God's love, proclaims freeing gospel, does not put the Naaman under the law, but relieves Naaman into doing what his position requires, as long as his heart is not within in serving the idol. He says, go in peace. And so Naaman went, carrying in his heart the peace of God. I think that when Naaman came home, he met the young believing girl, certainly told her that indeed there was the prophet of the living God in Israel, and love was ignited in between them. And so God guided for this girl in slavery a believing father as a gift and as his support. My serving turn here at services is ending. I want to ask, can I remain believing? Can I believe my sins forgiven? I want to believe together with you. Remain you also securely believing in Jesus' name and blood. All sins are forgiven. Bless one another as I do not see everyone here. You have a permission to believe, all your sins forgiven. Amen.